This is the Gamers Jobs Conference Call for January 3rd, 2007. My name is Sean Andrich. I'm the co-founder of GamersWithJobs.com. Joining us, of course, Mr. Rob, producer man Borges.
Woohoo! Second seat! Happy New Year!
Only one per
Don't
year.
Don't get cocky, kid.
And also Mr. Julian Rabbit Murdoch.
Salutations.
Yeah, he's already filling in for Elysium nicely with words like salutation.
It's in honor of Charlotte's Web.
Oh,
right. Did you go see that?
My daughter did. So, you know, it's like virtually I saw it.
Yeah. We'd normally be joined, obviously, by Sean Sands, but he had a family emergency come up here today. So we are just flying without him once again. It's going to be tough. Everybody ready? We've all got our little pictures of Sean nearby. Got to lit some candles.
I said a few Hail Marys earlier just to, you know, send the good wishes. We should point out it's nothing horrible like having to get a penicillin shot for an STD or anything like that.
No. It's nothing you need to worry yourself with.
Yes. He will be back.
And it's not contagious. That's really all that matters.
Over the internets.
Over the tubes.
Today, rather than talk about one big topic, we're actually going to have a little topic buffet. Everybody's brought something to the table, which I guess would be more of a topic potluck.
Yum.
See, potlucks are better because you always feel full after a potluck, not necessarily a buffet.
Plus, you always brought something you like to eat. That's the most important part.
That is very important, and I've seen the topics you guys chose, and I'm glad I brought mine along.
Oh, boos. I've got the most important topic. Blah, blah, blah.
We'll also have
not to love about cream spinach?
we'll also have, of course, the thread of the week. We've got an email to cover. Before we get into games that you can play right now, we do have a little bit of an announcement. Starting right now, as you're listening to this, the Gamers of Jobs conference call is going weekly because we like to make Rob work. In fact, Rob, could you insert some trumpets maybe after I said weekly?
Yeah, a bit of a drum roll maybe.
Yeah, there you go. Drum roll, then trumpets, then the mating call of a Alaskan sparrow. If you could get that in there, that'd be great.
Yeah. I'll see about that. Maybe, yeah.
I'll skip the obligatory Monty Python reference, but sparrows. Okay.
Well, let's get into what we've been playing here, because I'm sure with the holidays, that being gamers that we are, everybody's played a whole lot of new and exciting stuff. Rob.
Yes, new and exciting, because that's what I'm all about. No, you know what? I just finally was able to get myself my own copy of 2K7 so I could give you yours back. And I went out and bought Gears of War because I loved it so much when I rented it and figured,
Welcome to the real world,
Rob. Yeah, I know. I was like, why waste more money renting a game again that I know I'm going to really enjoy? I'll just wait to see if I can get it cheap. And sure enough, this Christmas I was able to do that. So those have taken up a lot of my time, which unfortunately means I haven't played a lot of anything else. Been checking out some of the demos on Xbox Live Arcade, but that's about it.
So are you getting better at Gears of War now that you have it and you can? Because I've played on you against you online now, and you're not bad. I mean, you're not as bad as I was when I started playing. So I feel like you're making improvements on like multiplayer mostly.
I think I have natural abilities, but then I top out very quickly, and everybody surpasses me by, you know, leaps and bounds, and all of a sudden I go from, you know, having that natural ability to play well right off the hop to playing really bad compared to everybody who's been playing for several months. I guess a month now, you know.
Yeah, so. I got to say, last night, your natural abilities didn't exactly shine.
I don't know how, but I suck with the shotgun. I cannot aim with that goddamn thing.
Oh, and me neither. I don't even bother with the shotgun.
And you would think a shotgun with a wide spread would be, you know, really easy to work with. But no, I mean, I could take 4, 5, 6 shots and still not put a person down. And, of course, you know, this other person will turn around a corner, get a beat on me, and just disintegrate me with one shot. It's just the way it works. What am I going to do?
I hate shotguns. I really do. I think mine are filled with gerbil food pellets. I don't think mine are real shot.
I hate the chainsaw more, but we don't need to turn this into a Gears Fest.
No, but the chainsaw is something you choose to use. With the shotgun, it's like, you know, if you're running out of bullets with one gun, you got to switch over to something, right?
Smoke them if you got them.
That's right. Smoke those shotguns. Rabbit.
So you're basically really boring. That's what you're saying? That's it? You haven't been playing anything else?
He just got his ticket back to Relevant Town, so hey, give him some time.
You know, I would love to be playing all these great and new fantastic shiny games, but I've got to pick and choose. You know, I can't afford to buy all the latest and greatest things. Like I said, I've been playing some of the arcade demos, but other than that, I've been playing a little bit of Settlers of Catan on Astral Brain Explorers, and I've also been playing some chess online at redhotpawn.com. And no, it is not a porn site.
Is that actually what it's called?
You bet.
Why don't they just call it xxxpawnblowjob.com?
I actually think, and you'll have to check the threads. It's in the games and platforms thread. So for anybody listening, it's somebody has put up a post and it says chess players. That's the title of the thread.
We'll drop a link to it.
And and basically, I think there is actually a URL that you can use from work, because obviously redhotpawn.com is probably going to show up as a filtered URL. Right. So there's a work-friendly there's a work-friendly URL that you can use that gets you to the same place. A bunch of the people from GWJ have already signed up. I'm playing, you know, I sign up, and within a day, I've now started 4 chess matches. And, you know, with I've got a chess match versus Elysium. I've got a chess match versus Jake Legg and 2 others. Sorry, I can't remember your names now, but what's great about it is you can make your move, send it off, and then you just wait for the other person to make their move. And it'll even send you emails if you wish to tell you when somebody has made a move in the chess game so that you don't always have to go back and check. So that's a great feature to have. And if you do have both of you playing at the same time, then you can just go back and forth right away with each other. It's a really cool site. I'm really enjoying it.
Oh, and because it's not real time, you could actually use our new super powerful processors and just, you know, like throw it into Chess Master and see what the computer does next. People are like, whoa, he's really great.
Yeah. The other great thing too is that you can actually take the board and you can play around with it in between turns so that you can see how, you know, if you're really a big chess aficionado, you can see where things might develop, right? Like, what if they made this move? Can I make this move, etc., etc.? So you can actually play an entire game by yourself just to see if you can figure out what the outcome might be beforehand. It's, it's pretty interesting, yeah. So although it's not the latest and greatest in graphics technology, it's still...
well, it is chess, after all. I mean, Battle Chess had its day.
There's been a lot of innovation
in
chess in the last 1,000 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Battle Chess and, I believe, Nude Chess.
But it's still a game. It's online. It's fun to play, and I'm enjoying it.
Good. How about you, Rabbit? What do you got in the pot?
Well, I've been playing a lot of Xbox Live Arcade, but I've been playing Novadrome, which pretty much has been shat on by the world. Yeah, exactly.
I'm
going to
agree with that
much.
Sentiment.
but did you buy it and actually play it online, or did you just play the demo?
Well, I don't usually walk into a store and say, wow, that's a really nice pile of shit. I think I'll ring that one up.
Yeah, same here.
Put a bow on it. Thanks.
I've been playing it online, and I'll admit there's not a big group of people playing it online. I mean, it's like even on Xbox Live, which supposedly has, you know, what, however many million people, I'm seeing the same 50 guys, but but it's I'm having a blast with it. I think it's really fun. I mean, it's just a really stupid arcade racer.
But is it a racer? Because the demo is just like this big open arena place, and you ran out of ammo for no apparent reason. You couldn't shoot, and things happened. Like, I didn't get any sense of what that game is all about.
There are some things that are a little bit more racy than Demolition Derby. And most of it you can get away with just shooting people. I'll admit that. But it's really simple, stupid, runaround fun. I've been really enjoying it. I don't feel at all ripped off for the $10 it cost me to buy it.
$10 for the, oh man.
Isn't that what it is? It's like $10.
No, I'm just shocked it's $10.
Well, how many points is it?
Oh God!
I think it's 800, which is $10. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I haven't been disappointed at all. I've gotten a couple hours of gameplay out of it, you know. And if I spend $30 on a mainstream title, you know, $60 for God's sakes on a Xbox 360 title, and I get 10 hours of gameplay, I consider that, you know, reasonable. So I got a couple hours of gameplay out of my $10. I'm totally happy with it.
All right, Rabbit, you've been playing any real games?
Anything? Yeah, so I've actually been going through some back catalog because I invested in a membership to Gamefly because I always talk about how cool it would be to rent games. And man, total piece of shit. Not continuing that one. I paid my $12 for a monthly membership and managed to get a whole 3 games through in a monthly membership. Took me 2 weeks to get my first 2 games, and I turned one around right away. And so I played Okami, which I hadn't had before, and kind of wasn't that into that. I played, I don't know, maybe 6 hours of that. But again, 6 hours is 6 hours. I'm perfectly happy with that. And then I played Wii Madden I got, which I have to say I wasn't that into. I mean, it just didn't actually work for me. I know, Rob, you like actually enjoyed it, didn't you?
Wii Madden, yeah. I thought it was, for the brief time I played it, I thought it was a lot of fun, and I would really, really love to play it versus somebody. So as soon as Sean gets another nunchuck, or as soon as I can afford to get a Wii myself, then hopefully that'll be something that we can do.
As
I don't know.
Couple.
I just
that'll be nice.
Oh, shut up.
I think some of what it was. I haven't played a Madden in like I guess maybe 2 Maddens ago, maybe like 2002 yeah. Madden, 2003 Madden or something. And you know what? It's the same goddamn game. I mean, like, nothing has changed.
Yeah,
in
but
Madden.
You can throw away with the Wiimote and you can juke and you can, like, yeah, stiff no, arm. Oh, man, that's so much fun.
You know, it's easier to hit the freaking left D-pad on defense than it is to remember to throw both arms to the left or whatever.
Not me, man, because I can never remember what button combinations to press.
I have to say, I thought it was, like, the so far, I mean, I've only played a couple Wii games, but it seemed like the worst kind of, oh, let's take a normal game and make a Wii game out of it.
I don't know. I think the controls were well implemented. I actually was able to play with a pretty decent level of competence right away. It's Madden, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that's what it was. It wasn't that it was a horrible game. It's just it was Madden.
Yeah, it was just...
And the fact is, there were so many things I wanted it to do as a Wii game that it didn't do. Like, I mean, I wanted to be able to throw to the receiver, right? I wanted to be able to, like, okay, throw to the left, that it goes to that receiver.
Oh, wow.
Instead,
really?
That'd
be so strange.
Yeah, that would be really
strange.
That'd
be tough.
I actually like the way they have it.
Because, I mean, two receivers close together, how would the game know who you're throwing to?
Exactly.
Precision. You have to be good at it. I mean, God forbid, man. You have to do something like time your throw like you do with a tennis racket or a bowling ball in Wii, you know? I mean... Really, I mean, why is it that much different between that and saying, okay, I'm going to hit this ball right down the line, which you can do in tennis?
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. If they can do it, I'd love that.
So the bottom line is it was Madden, and I was expecting something more exciting than just another Madden game because I kind of given up on playing Madden every year.
You know what? I don't want to get too much off on a tangent here, but you actually reminded me of something else that I've been doing. I got my hands on an Xbox 360 racing wheel, and so I've been playing PGR3 with the racing wheel, and that's been a lot of fun.
Is it good?
Yeah, like, the racing wheel is so much fun. Sean actually had a chance to play it as well. We were noticing that I find when I'm playing with the racing wheel, I can't play on the outside view, whereas when I'm playing with a controller, I have to play with the outside view. I can't.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I can't drive the vehicle inside. But with the racing wheel, I definitely prefer being inside the vehicle. And it's,
well, sure, because it's that much more immersive, right?
Yeah, it's great. And the what's awesome about the wheel is as you're, like, you know, as you're spinning the wheel, you can actually see the wheel turn in the video game, like, one for one. I couldn't tell any lag or anything like that. You know, it's a wireless controller.
Really?
Well, wireless in the fact that it doesn't actually plug into your 360, although you do need to plug it into a power source in order to get the force feedback to work. So they've got a power adapter for that.
Right.
And
how good is the force feedback?
It's actually pretty good. I want to actually play a game that has that implemented from the beginning, because PGR3, they just slapped it on. So I'm not
sure.
So
you
sure
want Forza? You want Forza 2?
I want Forza 2. Did Need for Speed Carbon not come with it implemented as well?
I believe it supports it. I mean, who knows how good the support is?
Yeah.
But.
So,
but
I'm
like,
try.
But like all of these things, you need a whole generation to pass before it really works.
Yeah. Well, but you know what though? When I was playing it at my place, I felt like after, because I played it for several hours and I was trying to, you know, go through the career mode with it and everything like that. So Even though I had played PGR3 before, I found it was like a completely new experience. I was having a lot of fun. I was, you know, relearning how to play the game because the mechanics are going to be different with a wheel. And I found that having that, not only the rumble, but having the force feedback on there gave me some added reality to the whole thing. And it was a lot of fun, you know, to be traveling down the road and feeling as you were trying to turn your car off of a straight line, feeling that resistance against it, you know, and then slowly having it fade away as you made that corner and as your vehicle started changing direction. So that was a lot of fun. And I've also, with that racing wheel, I also got my hands on a wireless headset, which, you know, it's the only way to go as far as I'm concerned. It's amazing.
I just want to point out, actually, that racing wheel you're talking about, it's the official Microsoft one.
Yep.
And it's $150 US.
Holy
you know what?
Crap. Is it really?
Yeah, it's expensive. I got it for free, so hey, yay me. I would never have bought it for myself, but I know that there are several people out there who are really into racing. And I'm going to hold, you know, I'm not going to say go out and buy it right now if you are into the real racing games. Because I'm not quite sure exactly how it works. I'm going to actually take it over to a friend's place who loves racing games, and I'll see what he thinks about it. And,
are there alternatives? I mean, does Mad Catz make one that or anything?
There's a couple of alternatives. I haven't tried any of them.
Okay. I don't think there's any for the 360.
I thought there were one or two. I thought there was one or two.
I don't think so.
Microsoft's really, really hardcore about keeping that crap out of the market. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to remember, though, it's just a USB plug-in, right? So somebody could make one that plugs into the USB.
Yeah, just
port.
The games need to be programmed for and to support the wheel,
true,
basically.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Wait for the inevitable Forza 2 bundle. I mean, it's a good wheel, but it's.
But it'll be $99 with Forza 2.
Yeah,
inside.
It's a complete paperweight, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. So. Yeah, I'll see what happens with it, whether it sits in my closet for long periods of times or whether I actually do pull it out and play it often. The great thing about this racing wheel, though, is that it's got a fantastic table mount. You can actually sit it on your lap. It's form factored to sit on your lap if you'd like, which is fairly comfortable. But if you really want to sort of, you know, have a bit of extra stability in the wheel, the table mount is really beefy. It can be completely removed from the racing wheel so that it can sit on your lap. So that's the added bonus. But the screw that you use to tension the whole thing down onto a table is really nice and beefy, and the whole thing feels solid. So, you know, Microsoft did a fantastic job with the wheel. It really is a nice-looking piece of equipment, and it seems to work the way it really should work. So there you go.
Okay, so that's more than we ever wanted to know about the Microsoft racing wheel. Yeah,
maybe, I don't know.
Anyway, so with that diversion, so I've been playing Madden, which I didn't like. I played Wii, Super Monkey Ball, whatever, which is just a complete and total piece of crap, and then I played Okami. So that's kind of all I've been playing in the last couple weeks.
Well, it's pretty good.
What about you, Mr. Sean?
What about me? Well, this will actually dovetail nicely into our topic buffet, I've been on a game finishing rampage. I've had a lot teetering on the edge, especially RPGs, so I finished up Oblivion. I finished up Neverwinter Nights 2. What else did I have?
Isn't that endless?
No,
I thought that was
it's
forever
not.
And ever.
But the very end of Neverwinter Nights 2, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody. But I don't think it's a big spoiler that there's a big boss fight at the end. I don't think that's a big spoiler.
No, there is. That you got to assume.
Yeah. And I'll quite frankly, I had to God mode it. It was just the most ridiculously overpowering, stupid, long boss fight I've ever encountered
in a
long time. I had to. even using God mode, it took about 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
Like, it was just long. Your guys died really quickly. He had some really crazy powers. And it was really, really bad. And even after reading, like, walkthroughs and guides, even then, I couldn't do it. Like, I just said, you know what? I want to know what happens in the story. I don't care anymore. So I just God-moded through the last battle, and that was that. So yeah, and there's a few other surprises there. I don't want to spoil. So just be prepared for that if you're playing the game. The game itself is fantastic right up to the very end. Just that last bit. Just be ready for
much.
It. Be ready to pull out the God mode, swallow your pride, and then you can enjoy the The ending. I swear to God, it's still images, and it sounds like a developer did the voiceover.
Oh, brutal.
I'm not kidding. It's totally slapdash. Like, it does... It ties a
you
bow on
evil
everything.
Doer, get out
no,
of
no,
my
no,
way.
No, it's not that. It's not that.
It's worse than it Sean does, Bean.
It doesn't. Oh, you can just go to hell. It doesn't actually. It doesn't leave any big cliffhangers. Like it does finish the existing storyline. Of course, it sets up for expansions, but it does a decent job of that. So it's the journey's great, and the end is it's a bit of a slap in the face, but it's not terrible.
So. You finished more than that then? Because it seemed like you had another...
Oh, I've finished some other stuff just in the last month or so.
Have you been playing Zelda? Because I know we had Carla on and she was talking about her Zelda and you were lamenting your fact that you couldn't get it Zelda.
That's true, I guess. Since then I started playing it and I played it and I played it and I finished it in about 50 hours.
Holy Christ.
Where do you have all this time? 50
no
hours in the last 2 weeks?
I've got no kids and a very understanding wife.
Jesus, man. If I get like 20 hours of gaming in over 2 weeks, I consider that like vacation.
But your life has meaning because you have children. I finished that. What Carlo's completely right on all counts. And the controls are really great. The story's fantastic. The ending is just classic Zelda. Really, really good. So that's a must play. If you've got a GameCube or a Wii, you have to play it. You don't have a choice. It's required by law that you play that game.
Wow. That's actually next on my queue now that I've moved to a new rental service. So.
Good. First by law,
I'll get to play like 7 or 8 hours.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about your 8 hours that you're satisfied with.
Oh, shut the hell up!
I also finally got into Medieval 2 Total War or Total War Medieval 2, whatever it is.
Is it good?
Now that it's patched, yeah, they finally patched it. There's still a few hinky things around how the cavalry charges work. But as just a regular player who isn't too anal about the details, I find that it's very cohesive. The battles are fun and it's graphically a little upgraded and there's some neat stuff with the Pope.
Neat stuff with the Pope. I always like that. Is it better than Rome? Because I wasn't that turned on.
If you didn't like Rome, you're not going to like this. I mean, okay.
It's Rome with different units.
Different units, a few extra layers on the big game map. Like the Pope actually plays a huge role like in everything because it's all about Catholicism, and so you can do things for the Pope, try and get your own cardinals elected as Pope, and people can be excommunicated. The Pope can call crusades, you can request crusades, which gives kind of benefits to your troops going, you know, it's just a lot of cool stuff. So it's I think if you liked Rome, you're gonna love this, and if you didn't, then just okay. Mosey on past. I don't think it's going
right,
to be much for
that's
you.
That's me moseying right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I can see you tumbleweed and dust in the distance. And that's about it. Other than that, just a little bit of Gears of War multiplayer. And
Hey, you're on my team, right?
That's true. I'm
you take, you're taking
in.
A slot.
Yeah, Soul Daddy's 360 died. Demiurge's 360 died. I think we've got
God.
I think the forums have accounted for about 30 Xbox 360s.
Jeez,
bricking.
I'm glad I bought my 2-year warranty.
Yeah, I'm not. That's insane. That's worse than the PS2 ever was. Like that is just.
Yeah, it's brutal.
That it's really, really, really poor. It's probably the most unstable console I've encountered so far in my life.
But we still love it.
We love it nonetheless. It keeps, you know.
And Microsoft is doing the right thing by repairing them for free. So
yeah, well, you know,
for a while,
PR disaster anyway. But Soul Daddy's system died. His roommate didn't end up buying one, so I'm going to be on your Gears of War tournament team.
I'm so excited. There's hope for us, yes.
Oh, I don't know
don't
about
count
that.
On that. Sean's not that good.
Yeah, well, I'm good. The first... I'm kind of like you, Rob, just not quite as extreme. I'm good like the first 5 games, and then I start to degrade. So if the tournament's just one map, you know, 5 rounds or whatever, then it should be fine.
He's also good at ignoring you when you're down on your knees and you really need a revive, and he's like instead deciding to shoot the person who's like trying to kill you. It's like, no, revive me, I can help.
I saw your score. You couldn't help. other than one big topic this week, we've all brought a little something to the table for our little topic potluck. And I'm going to get us rolling, I think. I want to talk about finishing games, because when I hear Rabbit say, oh, I played 4 hours of this 40-hour epic game, I'm happy, I'll send it back.
That just
seems kind of wrong to me. Like, I don't understand the mindset, that's all. So what is it exactly? Like, how can you be satisfied playing for like 5 hours and then just dropping it? I mean, we all do it. We all do it all the time.
I do it constantly.
It's just rare that a game will hold my attention for that long. I mean, Oblivion, I'm like 9,422 hours in. But there are not a lot of games that will keep me that interested, because every week there's something new, right? I mean, it's not like there's three games a year that are any good. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that every week that's pretty good.
It's like it's the ooh, look at the shiny new box syndrome, you know? It's like something shiny I can go look at, and then all of a sudden, ooh, there's another shiny thing. Well, and you run over there, and then there's another shiny thing just past that.
Yeah, but you don't have any money. What's your excuse?
Shut up. I can still rent things.
I know I'm busting your balls, but I really did have to buckle down and make a decision that I was going to start finishing games, because I was ending up with a lot of $60 display cases to look impressive when I stack them all up side by side and I look at them and, ooh, look at all my games, all the potential, and then I ignore them and, you know, just play Gears of War Online or something. So I really had to sit down and say, look, you can't play more than two single-player games at a time, and you can't pick up a new one until you finished one of the other two. That's
Man,
a rule.
You're like a Puritan.
I totally am. And you know what? It is really, really good. I've gotten back to that point where I remember how satisfying it is to actually complete a game. Like Zelda, when you finish it, it's so satisfying. Whereas I've played games where I didn't finish them. I'd been maybe 30 hours in. It weighs on my mind. It's like I look
but
at
see,
it and I feel
I actually
ashamed.
I actually want games to be shorter. Right, I mean, like, yeah. I loved Half-Life Episode 1, because I was done. Like, I mean, what was it, like 6 hours, four hours?
Yeah,
what
it was great.
And it was like in, out, got the plot, felt like I'd accomplished something. I'm Sam and Max, it's like a 2 hour game. I loved it.
Yeah, but how did it feel finishing it? Like,
it was great.
It felt good. You
it
had completion,
great.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, see, it's great. So,
but
I mean,
didn't have to spend 30, I mean, Oblivion, I've gotten sidetracked so many times. Yeah. I'm going to be like 59 years old, and I would have finished the main quest.
No, but I'm so close. Oh, there's a new mod for this quest. Oh, damn it.
I could tweak my graphics again. You know, I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't know. I finished Gears, then I finished Vegas, and I finished Neverwinter 2, and then I finished
Jesus,
Oblivion
man.
Off, and I, yeah, like in Zelda, and I'm just digging into Final Fantasy 12. And I'm having a lot of fun. I'm like 5 hours in, so I'm feeling like I'm going to be able to finish that one too. And yeah, they're really long, and obviously if you have kids, it's really tough. But I don't think that's the whole story. I don't think it's just a matter of a lot of new games, because we definitely have months where there's just nothing. You know, we've had at least 4 week stretches where there's just really nothing worth buying, and we have these backlogs. But am I the only one who finds that if I buy a game, if I don't play it within 2 weeks or a month, I'm not going to pick it up?
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. If I've got a game and I've played it, and then I find something different that I get interested in, and I stop playing for a while, it's so hard for me to get back into the game. Like Oblivion,
see,
unfortunately, is one of those games.
You guys just have so much more time than I do. I mean, really, it's like I mean, maybe this is really the question. I get, if I'm on a really good week where like I can take a day off, I get like 10 hours of gaming. That would be like a big week for me. And I get the sense that, Sean, you must play games like 35 hours a week.
Well, I'm self-employed, which helps, but I've got a rule that I've got a rule that I can't play anything until after 5 p.m. I've had that for years now. Yeah, I probably play quite a bit, especially just lately, because there's been so many games out. But, you know, and it's winter, and it's a good excuse.
I mean, like,
to
is it
inside.
Like a couple hours, like 3 or 4 hours a day?
That's probably reasonable right now in the middle of winter. Yeah, absolutely.
I probably play that much.
Yeah.
Except I just play other types of games.
Like, yeah. Yeah. You just play. Yeah.
I play like, you know, online flash type games. So it's or Java type games. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm not always interested in playing the newest, latest and greatest game that's out there.
Yeah. See, I am. I'm just gobbling them up right now. But, I know my time is short. You know, like I know eventually I'll probably have kids and other things
tick,
will come
tick,
up.
Tick. Or your youth is abandoning you.
Exactly. I know that this is a golden age, and when you have disposable income and time, you've got to take it. But if, say, like Saints Row, which is a really solid game, it's like an 8, right? Like it's fine. It's a good GTA clone. It's very competent. If I hadn't played it when it came out, and if I was in a game lull, say next month when I couldn't think of anything to play, I wouldn't pick it up. Not because it's not good or worthwhile. It's just because it's old news. Like, it's just.
But the difference is, I played Saints Row the demo and I was done. I was like, I enjoyed it. You know, I don't know what it is, like an hour. It's like an hour of gameplay tops, right?
That's so funny.
And I was like, okay, I get what this game is. I appreciate what they're doing, but I had no compulsion to go spend another 30 hours of my life playing it.
Yeah, I actually rented the game. So I did the same thing you did with the demo, just I played a little bit longer because I actually had the full game. And I have no reason to go back to it.
I didn't finish that just because it was too repetitive. You know, I just eventually I did all the different mission types and I thought, okay, so I got another 10 hours of the same thing, just more of it. It just wasn't engaging enough, so I didn't finish it. So I guess I'm just going to leave my little topic plate here on the table with this. I challenge you to just pick one game that's just languishing in your library and just decide to finish it. You know, especially if it's a game like you love it, it's fun, you hear it's really good right through to the end. Just sit down, put the other stuff aside, and finish it. Just see how it feels.
You know, maybe we should start a forum thread. Maybe we should start
a forum
thread.
But then what do we have
we
to talk
have
about here?
Thread.
Do we?
Okay. Oh, yeah. It's like 6 pages deep now.
of people just saying, I just finished this game?
Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
That's cool.
Way to pay attention. You know,
well, you know, I don't finish games all that often, so I never ventured in, I guess, and I forgot about it.
So I challenge you, finish a game, any game that you like, any game that is just languishing on your shelf. Every time you look at it, you feel shame. Finish it. Just try it. See how it feels. You might be surprised. Rob, you've got a little. You've got some beef for our buffet.
Yes, I do. I love the little wordplay there. No,
Mongolian beef.
Well, it just shocked me, right? Because I was surfing the GWJ site and I happened upon a thread about people having troubles with their purchased content, and I was shocked because I thought, okay, well, this is old news. So I opened it up and I find that people are still having that same problem. I thought it was actually something that was already taken care of. And as I was reading the problems that people were having, and for those of you who are living under a rock or don't have a 360 and are thinking about getting one, here is one of the major problems. The console itself, well, they're failing left, right, and center. Lots of people have had them go down. And thankfully, Microsoft has taken it upon themselves to fix these units and send people back, you know, refurbished or brand new units that work. And the problem lies in if you've purchased any content on the machine that breaks, when you get the new one back and put your hard drive back on that system, only your gamer tag will be allowed to play any of the purchased content. And anybody else that may have a gamer tag on there will not be able to play anything that was purchased with the other system, because it seems that there is some sort of DRM installed in Xbox Live that basically restricts any games purchased to the unit that you've purchased it on originally. So this has been a major problem, and people have had to do these major workarounds and have had to call Microsoft in order to get the workarounds to work. And I think it's something that they should be looking into changing, and I'm totally shocked that, you know, it's been over a year now and they haven't fixed it. It's been over a year and this is a major problem. It's got to be costing
them
costing Microsoft in customer service alone a bundle to keep fixing
like
this
maybe $1,000. I'm sorry. I mean, this is normally where I would go, because, I mean, how many people do you think this has really affected?
There have been, like, what did Sean say? Like, at least around 30 people in our forums alone that have had this problem?
Yeah,
that have had their units go down?
How many people of those 30 have multiple accounts that need to access
right.
the live content?
Well, it is gamers with jobs. Like, I mean, there are a lot of people here who are married and have significant others or
right.
even
so
kids
we're like,
that play
right.
content.
But the point is that we're a minority. I mean, I can't guarantee you, but I mean, I would submit to the jury that there are probably less than 5,000 people who've had this problem, which I know sounds like a lot of people.
But this isn't just affecting. This isn't just. You got to remember, this isn't just affecting. And here's the thing that I found out: it's not just affecting Xbox Live Arcade stuff. It's affecting purchase things in retail games that you play. For example, Oblivion, right? You've got Oblivion, and if you want to, with the save system, that sort of thing, people might want to play with their account, I don't know, to keep track and to get their achievements and whatever the case may be, right? And if you don't have, if you're not the one that has actually purchased that game-changing mod or whatever the case is, then you're going to be screwed because...
Wait, so I'm confused. So you're saying that somebody who didn't pay for something shouldn't have the right to use something that somebody who did pay for something?
I'm sorry, but if you live
in
the same house as somebody, if you lived in the same house as somebody who's purchased content for a game that you're easily going to be able to play because you live in the same house, then you should be able to access it. The thing is you're able to access it on the original machine. Everybody who lives in that same house and puts their gamer tags on there has access to it originally. That's the way apparently Microsoft intended it to work, so why is it not possible for them to make sure that when they switch these systems out for people, that these people still have the same full access to their purchased content that they used to have?
I'll tell you why. Because the way everybody else in the entire content industry, talk about film people, TV people, music people, and game people, they don't care about machines, they care about people. So I would argue that from Microsoft's perspective, it was a mistake that they were licensing the content to machines in the first place.
Well, right? Yeah.
Their intention was probably to license the content to the gamer, right? The guy who actually purchased the content with a credit card for a specific gamer tag. So this is a whole can of worms, and I can almost guarantee you that the end result is they will limit content to the gamer tag that purchased the content. Not the other way. You're talking about wanting more rights for the people because they have 9 gamer tags on one machine.
If they were going to do that, then they wouldn't be offering people the workarounds. And here's the ridiculous workaround that they have. They will give you, if you can prove that you've purchased this content, which is fairly easy, although annoying to do, and you can get somebody who is actually capable of making this change for you, because apparently the regular CSRs won't do it for you. You have to like move up to the next guy in order to get this done. But they will actually give credit an account for you the money it would cost in order to get that Xbox Live Arcade or mod, whatever, repurchased on your system. However, you can't do it with the original account. Like, for example, I've got an Xbox 360. I go and buy Uno, right? Everybody else who has a gamer tag on my system is able to play Uno as long as my machine still works. As soon as it fails, I send it in, they give me a new one, I slap that back in. Now I'm the only one who has access to Uno on that system
under
my tag.
Now
here's
the
thing. If I want to give the access again to everybody on the system, I can call Microsoft. I can ask them to credit an account. I just can't get them to credit my account. I actually have to get them to credit another Silver account in order for that Silver account to purchase the stuff, because I can't repurchase Uno myself. It won't let me. The system locks me out.
But now you're talking about the equivalent of a guy with a car who has a problem with both his brakes and his transmission having some weird combination failure. I mean, this is not something that the mainstream gamer is ever going to see.
Well, the unfortunate thing is Microsoft, the Xbox 360 consoles are failing on a very regular basis. Well, I shouldn't say very regular, but it's pretty bad. I mean, you know,
relatively to other consoles.
Exactly.
Certainly.
So
yeah,
it is becoming a big problem. If these 360s were working as they should be and constantly working without failing, this would never be an issue. But because they are, Microsoft should have made a workaround for this already.
They have. People call and they can fix the problem. I mean, I don't want to be a Microsoft defender, but the reality here is that there's a very narrow range of people who have had Xboxes fail, who have multiple people on their one Xbox who are trying to access downloaded content purchased with points. That, I mean, you're talking about narrowing the range of people this has happened to down to a pretty narrow margin. And the reality is those people who, if they really care about the fact that they can't get all three people on their machine to play Uno, those people can call and it will get fixed. Maybe not the best way possible, but it will get fixed. So I have a hard time getting really worked up on this, given the number of complete horrible disasters the game industry has foisted on people in the last 10 years.
But that's the thing. I mean, we got to be vigilant, you know? It's like, I feel that as gamers...
Constant vigilance,
well,
right?
And being gamers that know maybe are maybe more in the know than your typical gamer, I think it's a responsibility sort of thing that if we're going to be talking about these issues and that sort of thing, to bring them up so people understand what the problems are.
Okay, I'll get off my high horse.
That there are ways to get fixes for them, and that if we find that they're ridiculous, we should try to do something about it, right? And the only way to do something about it is to become active. So that's what I want to try to do. I'm going to see if we can get some more information from Microsoft about it and see whether or not they're going to try to implement a fix or whether they're going to, you know, just say, no, this is the workaround and that's the way we're going to do it, and hopefully the systems will stop failing. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. Well, just in case anybody missed the technical reasons for this, basically any content you download onto your console, the license is split in two. Half goes to your console and half is attached to your gamer tag. So the problem is when your console is gone, half that license is gone, so no one else can access it. So when you get a new console back, it's just you only have that half license that belongs to your gamer tag, and Microsoft is unable to tell
Unwilling.
The system, currently unable, because you ask someone customer support, they can't do it, is unable to tell the new console to give those game licenses to the new console. If they were able to go into their machine and just tappity-tap, make the change, this wouldn't even be an issue. So it seems like an easy fix. We are going to look into it, and I think we can leave it at that for the moment.
Much.
But I do,
please.
I do enjoy listening to you two yell at each other. Julian, I think the snoring was a nice touch. Rob, I think your pitch got up there really well. So, bravo to both of you.
Woohoo!
That was nice. Now maybe into a little bit smoother waters here. Julian,
positively
Scott.
Placid waters.
Yeah, positively placid. I'll get my paddle. Go ahead.
So my little mini topic, which is going to take about a minute compared to this other stuff, is the increasing crossover of pen and paper or board, you know, actual pulp games made out of things like plastic and paper, to the online and virtual world, which I think is like it's the story of the next year from the perspective of deep, deep gamers. Because you're seeing, I mean, in the next year, God willing, we'll see games like Carcassonne and Settlers of Catan, which are two of the most popular board games worldwide ever released. They're coming to Xbox Live, right, which is a pretty good platform to expose people to. We just heard Rob ramble on endlessly about how great it was to play chess online. We're seeing more and more of this stuff. I mean, Magic the Gathering Online has been really successful. You can regularly see Gamers with Jobs guys doing drafts for Magic Online. The Pirates game just launched, which I know, Sean, you played and I've played, and it's a great implementation of the game. I think the game isn't that great to start with, so I don't think it's the best game ever, but it's a really great implementation of the board game.
Yeah, it's very faithful.
Yeah, and I think you're going to see more and more of the stuff as developers start realizing, hey, you know, there's this whole industry out there that compared to the video game industry is developing content on the cheap. I mean, these guys who develop board games, they live on slave wages. You know, if one of these guys makes 70 grand a year, they're like, woohoo! I mean, 70 grand a year being a game designer, it's the end of the world. And that's the whole budget of the game. I mean, there's no $40 million graphics budget for, you know, Settlers of Catan.
It's a great way to kill time and just have fun for however long.
Oh, God, Rob, you wouldn't stop playing that. Oh, man. Every single day you want to play some Catan, it's like 1 p.m.
I'm still playing it. I played two games today.
God.
The point is that, I mean, you still play chess, right? Because really good board games, like, frankly, any really good game has legs. And the nature of converting a board game to the video world is that you don't need insane graphics to still make the gameplay the same, right? I mean, the biggest place for this stuff is stuff like Brettspielwelt, which we'll post a link to, which is the big German site where they do just endless conversions of the big German-style board games, which are sort of the gamer geek board games. And they do really good jobs, and it's in little 640 by 480 graphics windows, right? I mean, there's no high tech to this at all. And you can kill 5 hours a night on that if you really care about the board game. So I think we're going to start seeing with the Xbox Live Arcade adaptations of this stuff, I think this is going to get more mainstream, and I think that's great because it puts the focus back on gameplay.
Well,
so that's my little micro topic.
To be fair, this stuff has been like sites like Pogo.com, like Microsoft's Game Zone, I think has
Yahoo Games. Yeah, I mean, sure.
Like, this is all PC based stuff, and I wouldn't say currently that say Xbox Live is the mainstream. I think the stuff is mainstream. I think specifically the story is going to be that we're going to see more on consoles because all three of them can download stuff now.
Right.
Yeah, well,
right.
I would definitely, Settlers of Catan ends up on Xbox Live, I'll purchase it.
You're all over it. I know you're all over it.
Oh, sure. You can't beat the interface. You don't got to muck around with Skype or anything else. You can just pop on and get going.
Invite a few people and go.
Yeah, that's going to be sweet.
So, anyway, not a lot of controversy on this, but I think that it's something people should pay attention to because I know there are a lot of folks out there who are video gamers who probably don't have Five Guys that come over to play games on a Thursday night, like board games. And there's a lot of really great games out there that the video gamers can expose themselves to, not to get too weird.
As long as they're by themselves, they can expose themselves.
Yes, all right, because all you've got is the headset, so nobody knows, right? on the internet, anybody can be a balloon pervert.
What? I don't even know what that is.
Oh, Google, man. Google it.
Oh,
I guess my point is just that because you're starting to see these inroads into the console space, and I think console is mainstream compared to PC gaming, increasingly so, that you're just going to start seeing this whole vast intellectual property pool brought to the console world, and I think it's just going to be great.
I take exception to your comment. Console is not more mainstream than the PC.
What?
For casual kind of board game kind of things? No way. No way. There's millions upon millions of people who play these games through websites online on their PC already.
I don't know. I
would be more specific. I would say the more hardcore gamers, which is still a pretty good majority of Xbox 360 owners, are going to discover or rediscover how awesome board games actually are.
Yeah.
Well, why is it, isn't that what I just said?
Well, no, you said mainstream, like PC was whatever. Now we're entering the mainstream. I think that's
okay. Well, we have a definitional problem. So you're talking about soccer moms playing Yahoo games as being the mainstream?
That's mainstream.
Okay. Well, we have a different. I'm talking about. You're right. I'm talking about like people who consider themselves video gamers, people who would identify that on a checkbox in a Nielsen survey, right? I am a video gamer.
Then I totally agree with you. You're a brilliant man.
And
rare man.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. And I look forward to playing both of you and kicking your ass in Settlers of Catan when it comes on Xbox.
I am looking forward to getting my ass kicked at something by you.
Wait, what? You don't think I can win? I've been practicing and practicing for hours.
Where's the love? Where's the love? Today's thread of the week, or I should say this week's thread of the week, comes from Wordsmith, or Wordsmith, however he wants to pronounce it. And his question is, why do you really play? And he posits a couple things. One is the freedom. The other is the accomplishment. And the last is the community. And I think they're all good answers. He sort of shies away from what I think is the big one. And he even says, I'm avoiding the one, fun. God forbid we have fun playing our games. But I think it's an interesting question because I think a lot of us play for different reasons. And I'll kick in my own idea first, which is, I think I actually play games more for the multiplayer community aspect than I do for anything else. I probably play 90% multiplayer games.
Well, yeah, it's kind of a natural for you, kind of coming from a pen and paper board gaming kind of background, too.
Yeah, I mean, it is about socialization. There are some games where it's completely solo. Like, I mean, I've only played multiplayer Guitar Hero, I don't know, an hour total of my life. And I played, I don't know, 50 hours of the two games by myself. But for the most part, when I like sit down and it's 9 o'clock at night and I'm like, I'm going to play games for 2 hours, I'd rather go play, you know, chess online with somebody who I can have a chat with while I'm doing it than just sit here and sort of grind through another hour of Tony Hawk or something.
Well, you know, as somebody who has his instant messaging, who's instant messaged me on a taxi in Austin, Texas, who's instant messaged me, like, probably, let's be honest, probably from the bathroom as often as not. That really doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
So the question,
basically,
you're
saying
is,
I have no life.
Well, no, just a crushing addiction. That's all.
Oh, God.
So the question is, fundamentally, why do we play? Is that, like,
yeah,
why
that's
do we
really
play
the
games?
Question is, why do we play video games?
That is a good question. Rob, I'll be interested in why you play video games, because I know that there was kind of a time, like you, like Carla, who you kind of hadn't played a lot for quite a while, and then EverQuest kind of drew you back in, and then I've kind of been an enabler.
Well, that was funny, because video games for me have always been a part of my life, like from the Atari 2600, and even before that, arcade games. I loved playing arcade games, but they were sort of, if they're there, I'll play them. If they're not, I didn't really bother with them. And so if I found myself when I was younger at a friend's place who had a video game system, we'd more than likely end up playing some sort of video game. And as I grew up, I sort of stopped playing more and more video games because, I mean, you grow up, you do other things, you get busy with life and all that sort of stuff. And then when I moved in with you and your brother in that house there for...
Wait, you guys lived together?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God, this explains so much.
For about a year.
Rob, Carla, and my older brother, and one other person.
Yeah, in this big house.
Yeah, that's how Carla and I met, actually.
And it was funny because I didn't play very many... At that point in my life, I didn't play very many video games. I mean, you know...
I think the last one you'd played was Blade Runner.
Yes. And I think the last one I played... Or the first game I ever played co-op with anybody... was Diablo online.
Oh, which is a great game.
Yeah, yeah,
great
and game it was
to,
something
I mean, if you're going to pick a co-op game to break your cherry on, as it were, that's
oh,
it.
Oh, jeez.
But it was one of those things where I had played Diablo by myself, and I decided, oh, I'll give this co-op online thing a try, and I called up a buddy of mine, and we got our connection through the dial-up computer, whatever, you know. Like, it was very archaic, and we managed to get a stable connection for a few sessions, and... But when I moved in with Sean and them, I sort of stopped. And then Sean was like, so he comes down one day. He's like, do you want to get a high-speed connection? I'm like, I don't know. Why? He's like, I don't know. Play video games and stuff. I was like, oh, I guess maybe. And yeah, we did. And then he got me introduced to EverQuest. And
yeah,
that's
oh,
where it started.
We moved our computers into one room.
Yeah, and, it yeah, started. Yeah. I mean, my love for video games got started from there. Like, it became more of a passing hobby it became something that I really enjoy doing and will do on my own now. And, you know, it's not something that...
my boy's growing up.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. It's interesting. So I've had this really roundabout way of becoming a video game junkie, and it's
so now, though, fundamentally, why do you play games?
Because they're fun. And
okay,
I love the
so
social aspect. No, I'm sort of with you. It's when it all comes down to it, I think everybody plays video games because they're fun. But I also am like Rabbit, that when I play video games, the majority of the games that I play are multiplayer online. I love the social aspect of it because it makes me feel like less of a... a loner, you know, and I I'm not a loner. Like, I like being in environments where there are people around, and sometimes it's great to be by yourself, and you know, but I find if I'm alone for too long, I get, you know, I start to jones for some communication.
You become a scary, hairy, weird guy. Yes, I
get
it.
No, it's not that. It's just I grew up in a big family, so I like the company. I'm used to company, and when I
will
by
say
myself
this
for too long, it's not good.
This is why I love the Wii so much, not to get all fanboy, but having the Wii in my living room, and it's the only console I've ever had plugged into the main TV in the house. I mean, I had my parents over for Christmas, and they played bowling for half an hour, right? I mean, all of a sudden, gaming became this big social thing to these people who had never in their lives touched a video game. And that's the whole reason I love the Wii. I mean, the graphics suck, you know, and the controller for a single-player game is interesting, but it's not enough to make you throw your 360 away. But the fact that I can get these random people to participate, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, I can't wait to get my own Wii and see if I can get my dad to play something. Yeah,
I got my dad to play awesome. Wave Race once. That was a big accomplishment for me.
But so, Sean, you've been quiet. So why do you play?
I just like
other than the fact that you have all this time.
I just like listening to you guys. I don't know. It's just, it's soothing to me. It's like a warm blanket.
Yeah, but I mean that's not a reason for why you like to play.
Fundamentally,
video games.
That's not why I like to play games. Well, you know, when I started when I was a kid, we had the Commodore 64, and eventually we had a decent PC. And we always had a Nintendo, a Super Nintendo. In fact, we were one of those lucky kids where we had an entertainment unit with two TVs. So the top one had TV on it, and the bottom one was for video games. So we could play.
Ooh,
and watch
you were the cool
and,
kids on the block.
Something like that. So
everybody came to your house.
So I was just inundated with the media. And, you know, at the time, the concept of being a gamer or any of that, just video games were just incidental to my upbringing and my childhood. They were just as normal as, you know, trying to think of something like stickball when you were a kid, rabbit or whatever, you know, stick and hoop or whatever it is.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Played there. But it was
whatever that Egyptian thing was with the little triangular pieces. Yeah, I get it.
But it was normal, you know, so I didn't really think about it. And I think the shift happened when I really started to actually think about why I was playing games, was when I was, I think I was just going to camp. I was 13. I wanted a magazine to read on the bus.
So that was like, what, 1987?
Well,
1990?
I can tell you exactly what the cover story was, and that may give you some idea. It was Computer Gaming World, and the cover was Will Quake Doom the Competition. I remember it, you know, so that, and I read it cover to cover because I had nothing else to do. I was a voracious reader back then as well, and that was it. Like, I started buying the magazines, and then when I got an internet connection, I joined a clan, then I got the high speed. You know, and things just kind of progressed, and as soon as I got on the internet, it solidified, you know, because I've been writing about games for about 7 or 8 years, really. So for me, there's kind of a mix. They're obviously fun. I obviously enjoy that. Honestly, it's just I have trouble thinking of what else I would fill my casual free hobby time with. Like, it is basically a hobby still, right?
What a luxury. It's like, oh, I've got all this free time, I could just watch TV, or I could do more interactive.
TV never did much for me, you know, when I was a kid, so that was kind of out. And it's just over time now, I've gotten so wrapped up in the industry. I think one of the things that really draws me to games is that they're constantly evolving. They're always improving. There's so much potential left in the field that just half of it for me is just loving the industry and the creativity and it's just so dynamic. You know, like movies are movies at this point. Books are books, and games are just always moving forward. They're just a completely evolving art form. So just from that end, on an intellectual level, that's partially why I'm a gamer. And on the other side of things, it's just they're fun and they're what I want to fill my free time with. It's just what I do.
Well, I think there's a whole separate track here, which is Daylor in the same thread says, I play games so that I can kill people and not have to worry about cleaning up the evidence.
Yeah,
I mean, I think there's something true about that. I mean, there's a catharsis to playing, particularly like the hideous violent video games that everybody's trying to ban. I mean, I'll admit it, I love blowing somebody's head off in Gears of War. You know? And there's nothing quite like sniping somebody. Right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
or getting that bow shot.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. And I mean, there's just some sort of cathartic, you know, stomping on your enemies quality to it that really has nothing to do with the sort of generic entertainment value of gaming, has nothing to do with the social aspect. It's just this, I don't know, there's something visceral about that.
Yeah, you know, it's less about, at that point, it's more like, you can almost say it's more about the accessibility to access that experience, because before games, to some extent, you know, maybe if you went out and played paintball or something, or like hide and seek when you're a kid, you get that rush when you're about to be caught, and you're just kind of in that head, that kind of instinctual headspace where it's like you gotta run
you're
away,
getting
you
away
hide.
With something,
you know. Whereas, yeah.
Yeah.
So when I'm playing Gears and I chainsaw somebody and I'm yelling at the TV and calling them names, and yeah, it's like that's not an experience I can easily access otherwise. And I
no,
think
it's
yeah,
right. totally unique
and,
to the
you know
industry.
Because other I could. It's just it would require a lot more effort. That's why you've got extreme
and prison.
You know, extreme sport junkies, and you know I can just experience all this stuff sitting in my living room, and I can experience so many different things. You know, it's more like the medium allows me to draw forth so many different experiences in a way more visceral, personal way than I feel like movies or books can. I think that's also part of it for me too.
Yep, I think that's it. I think at the end of the day, it probably all comes down to that. It's something you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah. And a lot of people find it a great stress reliever, you know, like they enjoy it. But I mean, another part of it is the ability to wind down after a tough day and forget all your troubles, sort of thing. So there's so many different reasons that video games are great. The interact, you know, being able to interact with whatever it is that you're doing is just a huge bonus.
Yeah, no, at the risk
and blow somebody's head off.
That helps. You know, at the risk of getting too personal, I've actually always been really careful about not treating video games as strictly a form of getting away from things. It's kind of like my dad said. You know, he'd say, "Don't drink if you're upset." You know, just if you're upset, yeah. You're angry about something, don't drink alcohol. I actually look at gaming the same way. If I'm like really upset about something, or I want to get away from a really long bad day I had, as often as not, I'll you know abuse Rabbit on IM, or you know rather than throw myself into a game because I don't want to run away from whatever it is that's actually bothering me.
But I mean,
so I don't use personally.
I think that's very wise.
Yeah, it's great not to let that.
I don't use games as strictly as escapism. Rarely, that's not really what it's about for me.
Well, I mean, anything taken too far is obviously bad. But I mean, you know, you don't want it to ever be a crutch or anything like that. But I think for me, sometimes, like for example, when I am in a weird headspace, I'll go and work out for a bit, and I come out feeling great. And before that, I used to play some video games or just like, you know, just let myself forget about what it is that's messing me up for a bit and think about something else. And, you know, because video games are so much fun, I get to think about something that's, you know, fun and interesting, and I can get my head back into the right place.
Sure. Well, you know, video games are more engaging than working out to some extent. I mean, working out is a much more meditative experience, or like going for a walk, I think, than video gaming. Because that's what I do. I go for a walk, or I'll just do the dishes, you know, like because it's kind of a nothing. I find games are too engaging to actually clear my mind.
I think different games fill different purposes. I mean, Guitar Hero is completely different than playing Quake. You know, I mean, I can sit here and completely relax playing like old Guitar Hero songs that I know really well. And to me, it's not a lot different than just sitting down and putting the headsets on and listening to music that makes me feel good. So I think to paint all video games with the same brush, I mean, Flight Sim is the same way. Flight Sim isn't a game, but I can hop into it and transport myself somewhere, and it's completely relaxing. It's not at all stressful. Whereas, you know, trying to kill you in Gears is completely stressful.
It's so stressful. It is. Gears is a very stressful game. It's one of the reasons I can only play once or twice a week at most.
Yeah, you can't sit there.
That,
and
that's
go.
Not.
Which is why our team is gonna suck. Thank you very much.
I play better when I'm rusty. I promise. We'll be right back. got one email here from GameSource, who's just following up a bit on our discussion about Blizzard and its impact on Vivendi. Rabbit, you got that in front of you there?
Yeah, I do. I do. His comment here is he actually went and did the numbers. God forbid he actually sought facts.
Yeah.
to chase down some random comments we'd tossed out here.
I don't believe in facts. I go with my gut. I'm just like Stephen Colbert.
Right, yeah, exactly. So his point was that when we were talking about Vivendi and World of Warcraft, he pointed to a Forbes article where he said that, you know, although it's a massive foreign conglomerate that owns everything from, you know, Blizzard and Sierra and Massive to Universal Music and French Telecom, that that the games division was actually becoming a more and more important part. And you can't argue with it that, you know, the numbers are the numbers. And I think the real message here is that gaming compared to something like, you know, music, which can be very hit or miss on a year-to-year basis, is somewhat predictable. Certainly something like World of Warcraft, you know, if you know what they made last month, you have a pretty good sense of what they're going to make next month. And I think that's kind of a good point.
Yeah, I think that predictability, whatever it may be for a company, is just gold. That's like the pot at the end of the rainbow. It's so, so elusive, though. So elusive.
Yeah, and I have to say, my theory on this is that you're going to, I think World of Warcraft is something of an outlier. Because it's been so phenomenally successful compared to all of the competition that everybody's going to look at that and say, well, is this the next World of Warcraft or that? But I think eventually World of Warcraft is going to fade and people will look back at it as the one that was really successful and the competition will step up and it won't be quite as predictable as World of Warcraft has been month to month.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think, just a little prediction here, keep your eye open for Age of Conan. I'm not kidding. I think that's got a shot at carving out a niche. Like, I don't think we've, in the last, say, year since World of Warcraft has really taken off, I don't think we've seen anything new come onto the market to really get any traction. I think Age of Conan's got a shot. I really do.
Have you actually played it?
No. I've seen.
So you're just talking out of your ass.
Well, basically. No, it's a bold prediction. But no,
He's feeling it. Let him feel it.
I'm feeling it from deep down. But I did see it at E3. I've been watching the development really closely, and I think it's got some potential. Just saying.
Okay.
Well, it's been a while since I've been interested in any sort of massively multiplayer online game, so we'll see.
We will. So that will do it. Just a reminder once again, we are going weekly.
Woohoo!
Something to look forward to.
Woo!
And also, if you are working and for some reason your boss doesn't like you wearing your iPod or music playing device of choice, there's also some buttons along the bottom of the post there. You can listen to it right through your browser, through Odeo or through Yahoo or whatever it is you prefer. So just a few extra options for those of you stuck at work.
Just also remember, we're always looking for emails, audio emails, if you wish, and just make sure those are 30 seconds and in MP3 format so that we can fit them into the show. And we're also always looking for music to fill in the in-between segments. So if you've got some music that you would love for people to listen to and think that it would fit into our show, let us know and we'll talk about it.
That's right. Call, at gamerswithjobs.com. On behalf of the absent Mr. Sean Sands, who will hopefully be back next week when we record the next show, Julian Rabbit Murdoch, Robert Borges, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.